Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
The news this afternoon is being overwhelmed by the big story, and that is this train derailment in Missouri, in a place near Mendon, Missouri. It is an Amtrak train that was on its way from Los Angeles to Chicago when apparently it hit a dump truck at a crossing, a public crossing, and it derailed with at least 8 cars ending up on its side. 243 people listed on board the train and a number of crew members. This is Southwest Chief Train 4. That is the actual name of the Amtrak train, Southwest Chief Train 4. And since this trip started in LA, that makes it pretty significant. We're supposed to have a news conference from the Missouri Highway Patrol to update the story there, because all we're getting are reports that there are multiple fatalities and that this is a major incident that they're responding to. A large-scale event is another term being used. So when the press conference starts, if it starts this hour, it's supposed to start 6 p.m. Eastern time, which is 3 p.m. our time, but as you know, these things, particularly in breaking news emergencies, don't get started on time. We're going to be talking now to somebody that was on the train, and his name is Rob Nightingale. Let's bring him on the air. Rob?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
All right, well, what's your story? Tell us how where you got on the train and what you saw happen and so forth.
Oh, sure. Let me just step outside here. I got on the train in Lamy, New Mexico, and okay. I'm heading toward Chicago.
All right. So just another train trip. You take the train often?
Yeah, I take it twice a year, round trip. I go visit family in Chicago and Michigan.
Okay. So this is just another trip for you. And explain to us what happened. I guess it was a ways into the trip.
Yeah, we just left Kansas City. They'd refueled in Kansas City. And we were running a little bit late. But anyway, I had lunch reservation at 1:30. And I decided to take a little cat nap. And I got a sleeper car. And around 1 o'clock, I was dozing in and out, knowing that I was going to get up soon to go to the diner car. And then all of a sudden, I heard like a bang, a jolt. The train rocked. The lights flickered. And I thought, well, sometimes it, you know, jumps around the tracks a bit, but then all of a sudden it went off the tracks, because you could just feel the train grinding against the ground, and all this dark brown dirt was coming up against my window. and it kept going. It was like in slow motion, and then all of a sudden it kept going, and it tilted and fell on my side of the room. And because it seemed like in slow motion, I just shimmied my body up against the side of the room as it fell, because I didn't want to, I was afraid the glass was going to break through and all the debris come in, but it didn't.
And what did you do next? Did you wait, or did you immediately try to get out of there?
I just sat there. It was silence. And I collected my thoughts. And so then I thought, I got my backpack and I opened up the door and climbed into the hallway. And I saw some people climbing into the hallway, try and climb into the rooms across the hallway to get out on top of the side of the car. And I saw the room across from me was closed. The gentleman must have already gone out his window. So I went down the
hallway.
All right,
Ken, we're going to go to that news conference.
Oh, patience, Rob, all right.
Thanks for coming on. We'll working diligently to obtain as much information as we can at this part in the investigation. I want to stress that the information we have now available is preliminary. This is an active and ongoing investigation at the scene. That's going to take us several more hours to work through this today, and late into this evening and tomorrow as well, most likely. With me today is Corporal Justin Dunn. He's the Troop B Public Information Officer. He'll have a short statement for you here in just a moment. And also with me today is the Sheraton County Sheriff, Eric Billups. Thank you all.
All right. This is from Missouri. The train director.
As Lieutenant Brown said, my name is Justin Dunn. I am a corporal with the Missouri State Highway Patrol, and I am the Troop B Public Information Education Officer. The statement that we're going to release at this time reference the derailment of the train is at approximately 12:43 p.m. today. The Sheraton County 911 Center received a 911 call of a vehicle struck by a train on Porsche Prairie Avenue in Sheraton County, southwest of Minden, Missouri. At approximately 13:02, first responders began to arrive on the scene. Preliminary investigation indicates an Amtrak passenger train traveling to Chicago, Illinois, struck a dump truck at the railroad crossing of Porsche Prairie Avenue. It's an uncontrolled crossing. The train had approximately 8 cars, including a baggage car. 7 cars have derailed. There are multiple injuries, and we can confirm there are 3 fatalities, 2 on the train and 1 in the dump truck. Personnel are currently working to secure the scene. The train had approximately 207 passengers, as well as crew members. All injured and uninjured occupants of the train have been transported from the scene. Multiple law enforcement agencies, ambulance districts, first responders, fire departments, and medical helicopters responded to assist. Agencies involved, including are the Sheraton County, Linn County, Macon County, Randolph County Sheriff's Offices, the Brookfield and Macon Police Departments, the Missouri State Highway Patrol, the Missouri Department of Conservation, the Missouri State Park Rangers, the Missouri State Fire Marshals, the State Emergency Management, ambulance from the Sheraton County, Linn County, Randolph County, Livingston County, Macon County, Howard County, Carroll County, and Caldwell County, also transported with medical helicopters, transported medical services, responded to the scene. Each agency transported multiple victims. Officials from Amtrak are responding to the scene, and the NTSB has been advised. The investigation is in its preliminary stages, and as more information becomes available, we will be releasing it at that time. Thank you.
As we stress here, this is the beginning of a lengthy investigation. We have a lot more information we are seeking and need to obtain. Also with me are members of the Sheraton County Commission. We will provide updates as they are available. They can be found on our patrol's Twitter page at MSHP Trooper B. Update information will be there as quickly as we can, and we will address more questions as we get more information. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it.
Are you going to take any questions here?
We'll take some afterwards.
Will you take some right now?
We can try, but it probably not be much we can talk about at this point.
There was as many as 243 passengers. He just said a total of 207. Can you confirm how many passengers and how many crew members?
All right, like I said, preliminary. We're still working with officials from Amtrak and our members at the scene. We know there's an excess of 200 passengers on the train and approximately 14 crew, but I cannot give you an exact number at this point in time because it's not something that I personally have been able to verify.
Do you have a number of how many injured?
No idea on number injured at this point.
At the railroad crossing, are there flashing lights? Are there arms?
It's an uncontrolled crossbuck intersection on a gravel road, so no lights, no electronic control devices, things such as that.
This is way out there in the country.
Pretty common to this area then?
A lot of your rural intersections are that way, yes.
Do you know what hospitals these victims were transported to? All right, we're
going to drop out anyway here. We just got an update that was from Missouri. That's the highway patrol there holding a news conference about this Amtrak train derailment, Southwest Chief Train 4. It actually began in Los Angeles, made its way to Chicago. I was just talking to a passenger who got on in New Mexico before we started the news conference. We now at least have more information than we had last hour. 7 train cars derailed. There are 3 people confirmed dead. 2 people on the train, and then the person that was probably operating the dump truck, which is what was hit by the train and what they called an uncontrolled crossing. And you could imagine that there's no gates, no lights, no nothing. I mean, this is a very rural part of Missouri, a place called Mendon, Missouri, which is some miles outside of Kansas City, Missouri. They didn't have any report, as you heard there, on the number of people injured. And there was a lot of questions about how many people are actually on the train. First report said 243, but at that news conference, he said about 207 passengers, 14 crew members. So there's your update on the train derailment in Missouri this afternoon, an Amtrak train, and they're still collecting more information. They'll probably hold another news event later. All right, when I return, first things first, you have a chance at $1,000. You'll be listening for a keyword that you can enter at our website. Johnny Kent Show, KFI, AM 640. We just picked up a news conference from Missouri, from the Missouri State Highway Patrol. They are updating the world on this train derailment. The good news is the headlines are seeing multiple fatalities. Right now, they're only confirming 3, which is sad. 2 people on the train and 1 person in the dump truck. The train hit the dump truck at what they call an uncontrolled crossing in this little town of Mendon, Missouri, outside of Kansas City. This was a few hours ago, and a bunch of cars, train cars, derailed, ended up on their side. We did talk to a guy by the name of Rob, although we had to cut him off because the news conference began. We can't get him back, but I just heard from my producer that he's looking for a place to stay because he was on his way from New Mexico to Chicago. This was a train from Los Angeles to Chicago. And so he's got to figure out what he's going to do and figure out a way how to continue on his trip to Chicago. And that may not happen today since you're not going to be using the train tracks. I don't know whether or not they'll fire up buses and try to take people to their destinations or some other Amtrak train sites. That's probably what they'll do. The Southwest Chief Train 4 is the name, traveling from Los Angeles to Chicago. No reports on injuries. Some reports were saying at least 50 people were hurt in some fashion, but the update we got from the Highway Patrol did not have a number on people injured. There were more than 200 passengers on this Amtrak train on its way from Los Angeles to Chicago. Now, and coming up after 3:30, the interview I was scheduled to have at 3:05, I'll talk to the attorney for the mother of an LAPD officer who died during a training exercise at the academy, the LAPD Academy. Something that says in the lawsuit that was supposed to simulate a mob, or what, a mob attack? He suffered severe spinal cord injuries and did not survive. His name is Houston Tippett. I'll be talking to the attorney for his mother, who's filed this wrongful death claim against the city, and try to learn more about this very sad and bizarre story, a training exercise that breaks somebody's spinal cord. Really weird. When we played the Moise line on Friday, it hit me. One of the callers wanted to know, what's going on with Mayor Yoga Pants? Mayor Eric Garcetti's nomination to be ambassador to India has been on hold. And the last time we visited the story, there was a member of the U.S. Senate that's on Garcetti's side saying that time is running out to try to pick up the votes necessary to confirm the nomination. It looked like a breeze for Garcetti. He actually was appearing before a committee under oath, and he denied any knowledge of a scandal that overwhelmed his department after an LAPD officer sued the city over being sexually harassed by the top aide to Mayor Garcetti. Rick Jacobs is his name. Garcetti repeatedly told the press and under oath, never saw it happen, never heard about it happen. And that looked like that story was going to stand until a whistleblower organization helped out a former communications director for Garcetti with her complaint, which they took directly to the Senate, saying, oh, there's plenty of people who can say that the mayor saw or at least heard about what Rick Jacobs was doing to multiple employees in the mayor's office. So a couple of Republicans, you know, put up the stop sign, and then a few Democrats kind of said, well, maybe we need to take a closer look at this, and that's where the story stood. But time was supposed to be running out, and that was weeks ago. I think that was still in May sometime. So the only update we have now, and here's the headline. No U.S. ambassador to India for 18 months and counting is the longest ever time that's happened before. Now, I know most people hearing this story think, you know, how important is it to have an ambassador to any country, let alone India? But it is the longest ever stretch where India has not had an ambassador from the U.S., according to data compiled by a think tank. They believe it has gravely affected our diplomatic relations. And one of the things that was going on is that India is kind of on the fence in this whole Ukraine thing because Russia's a major supplier. So I guess the idea was to send somebody over there and diplomatically work with them to try to come more around. Plus the fact that this is the climate change mayor. This is the guy that helped. He was like the head of this big mayor's conference on climate change. The mayors of cities from all over the country get together. And they decided that we were going to figure out a way to deal with climate change. So India, major contributor. India uses a lot of fossil fuel. China's the worst offender, or will be very shortly, but India's right up there. So now there's a gap. What they've been using is some interim envoys. There have been four of them to try to fill this gap since January of last year when Trump's appointee left the position. So now there's a woman right now named Patricia Lacinda, who's actually acting, I guess, as ambassador. But they believe that it's important because the Indian government, it's described here, is hierarchical, meaning to get to certain levels and to get into meetings, they like politically connected people. Yeah, and Garcetti's. But I guess if you just have a hack that's like an interim appointment described as an envoy, that may not impress them. We have the former mayor of one of the largest cities in the United States. Eric Garcetti's the ambassador now. Can we please get a meeting with so-and-so with the government? And it says here, the diplomatic relations between the countries were established back in 1946 when the U.S. State Department started an embassy in New Delhi. So there's your update on Mayor Garcetti. It says here, it does not send a good message. We have not heard anything else. Of course, Washington's embroiled now in the Roe v. Wade thing, and they just had the gun bill pass, and it doesn't seem like they're paying any attention to something that seems as trivial as this, but it means everything to Garcetti. And the last time we did the story, he had actually got his parents to hire a lobbying firm to make his case on the halls of the Senate in Washington, D.C. All right, when I come back, I'll be talking to an attorney for the mother of this 32-year-old Los Angeles police officer who died from a spinal cord injury during a training session at the police academy. He died 3 days after. This is a wrongful death suit, alleging that they were sort of simulating some sort of mob situation when Officer Houston Tipping suffered this injury. Coming up next is attorney John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640. You would think that there'll be a few people who not wanting to deal with airline delays and cancellations and we're thinking about a train instead might rethink that just because that's how human nature is. And there was this train derailment. It was about 10:40 our time this morning in Missouri. An Amtrak train that was on its way from Los Angeles to Chicago derailed after hitting a dump truck at what they call an uncontrolled grade crossing. No lights, no gates, all of that. And The dump truck driver is dead, and two people on the Amtrak train are dead. It did derail, and a lot of cars fell on their sides. People had to make their way out. There are a number of injuries, but we don't have a count on that. We'll be waiting for an update later. There were more than 200 people aboard this Amtrak train that derailed today. Right now, I want to talk about a story involving LAPD and its training methodology, at least as pertains to this case. There was a memorial service for Officer Houston Tipping. He apparently died on, he suffered a spinal cord injury on May 26th, and he died 3 days after that while training at the police academy in Legion Park. And I remember when I saw this story, I wondered how that could happen. I mean, I think there was a police officer that fell some distance years ago and died. But a training session with a spinal cord injury, I mean, how rough did they get? What were they doing? And we now have learned that the mother of the police officer, her name is Shirley Huffman, has filed what they call a wrongful death claim, the precursor to a lawsuit against the city of L.A. We're going to talk now to Bradley Gage, an attorney for the mother of this LAPD officer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What can you say about the circumstances behind Officer Tipping's death? What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, the injuries were all over the place. He had two different injuries to his head, as I understand it. One severe enough that he needed staples. The other severe enough that it caused the need for swelling or created swelling in the brain. Additionally, he had three broken vertebrae at least, C2 all the way to C5, possibly also C6. The injuries were so severe that they needed to do surgery to stabilize the spine, and they operated at C1 through C8, and they fused them. At the time, he already had become a quadriplegic because of his severe injuries. He was unable to breathe on his own. He required a ventilator, and his heart had stopped. He also had his liver damaged so severely they did not know whether it would be successful for a liver transplant or as a donor. And also, he had injuries to his ribs on the other side, as I understand it, of his body, which may have been broken. So it was all over his body that these injuries took place. And it was during, apparently, a training exercise. There were all kinds of problems with this training exercise. As we understand it, they did not have proper mats on the floor to protect him. They did not have a trained instructor there to supervise him. They did not have a defibrillator that they knew even where it was to help to get his heart to go because his heart stopped from his injuries. So those are some of the details.
There's so many questions here, Bradley. First of all, it sounds like he was pummeled. When I first heard this story, they were describing it, and I'll read the quote here. LAPD says he was injured while grappling with another officer. And I thought maybe he just got picked up and slammed to the ground, and that's where he suffered spinal cord injuries. But everything you've laid out sounds like it was an outright pummeling.
Well, that's what I believe it is. My brother wrestled in college, and there were stories of people breaking a neck, but it would be one vertebra, not three. And then there would be no injuries to the head, to the liver, or to the ribs. You can't get all those from one freak accident that I'm aware of.
And what was Officer Tipping's duties? He was a patrol officer?
He was a bicycle patrol officer. He was in the Devonshire Division. He would help to protect the community. And by being a bicycle officer, he was able to interact with the public a lot more than someone in a car. And he liked that because he wanted to help people. That's why he became a police officer to begin with.
Now, it says apparently in the claim that there was something about simulating a mob in this training exercise. What do you know about that?
We only have fragments of information because the LAPD is not sharing information with us the way we think they should. But as we understand it, this was a way to train bicycle officers what they're supposed to do if there is a protest. It's very timely with the unfortunate elimination of Roe versus Wade and the nationwide protest. So it's terrific that they want to train officers in order to deal with the public. But how can they possibly hope to be training officers in a way that kills one of their own? What's that going to do to the rest of us?
Was there any video made of this? Do you know? Or
we do understand that there is a training video that was made, and I have made a request for that video, but it has not been provided to us at this time. We also understand that they did an investigation, and after a month they should have some good details, but that has not been provided to us either.
See, at the funeral, I saw some of the funeral on television, and at least on the news, and everybody just seemed so grief-stricken, including the police chief, Michael Moore, and they apparently gave the parents, including your client, the folded American flag. I mean, instead, it just sounds like, I don't know how else to describe this, but he was really pummeled in some way that seems to go beyond any normal training exercise. All the injuries that you've described, I can't imagine why they didn't stop sooner or something like that.
Well, that's the whole point. These injuries do seem like a terrible beating, and the family deserves answers. They want answers. They're not receiving answers. And I do want to express the family's gratitude for the funeral. The funeral was a wonderful affair from everything I could see, and I'm sure that Chief Moore was upset to see the loss of Officer Tipping. And we appreciate the fact that he was there and that the mayor was there and other dignitaries. That's all terrific. But the problem is they should not have had to be there at all, because Officer Tipping went to work that day. He wasn't even out on the streets facing some unforeseen criminal. He was with what was supposed to be his friends and his coworkers, and all of a sudden he winds up quadriplegic, and 3 days later he dies. And that is so troubling, it's unfathomable to me.
Was your client, Shirley Huffman, told anything about the circumstances surrounding his injuries?
She has received fragments of information from different people. The information that we receive is inconsistent and incomplete. So I have tried to piece together the information from calling folks who basically say, I can't talk, I want a lawyer. Sometimes they say, I'm not going to tell you anything, but here's one sentence of information. And so as you talk to people and you gather information, you get a sense of what happened. And the injuries really tell the story in any event here.
Well, if it does move on to an actual, you know, wrongful death lawsuit, which it appears to be since you filed the claim, I guess you'll get to depose people.
I plan to depose them. I sent out a Public Records Act request today for information. We'll be able to file the lawsuit after 45 days. You start with the governmental claim, then you file the lawsuit. Then after that, you can take depositions and do written discovery to gather more information.
Well, Bradley Gage, thanks for talking to me. My best towards Officer Tipping's mother, Shirley, and we'll keep track of the story. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's a sad story, and I hope that we can find some justice and peace for the family. Have a good day.
All right. That's Bradley Gage. He's an attorney for the mother of an LAPD officer who died during a training exercise 3 days after this happened on May 26th. And the initial reports is that he suffered just spinal cord injuries, but as you heard Bradley Gage talk about, he suffered injuries to two parts of his head, four vertebrae. It was a serious situation. It was supposed to be simulating some sort of mob or mob attack, but it looks like a horrible pummeling. All right, we got more coming up on the John and Ken Show on KFI. We'll get more on the travel nightmare as we move into what will become, this weekend coming up, a super holiday getaway weekend with the 4th of July landing on a Monday this year. And apparently a lot of companies are giving people Tuesday, July 5th off too. I'm not sure what that is. Is that the hangover effect? Anyway, of course, the situation with air travel has been pathetic. And of course, today's news that a train derailed in Missouri, killing three people, probably won't make people feel very comforted taking trains. But anyway, we'll talk to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, coming up at 4:05. And Deborah Mark, I have a story that I pulled just for you about what you could possibly do to make yourself feel a little more at ease on airplanes.
Oh,
besides wearing a mask.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm surprised you don't wear like the whole contained mask, the helmet thing that people have.
No, I don't want to be ridiculous.
That reporter from Channel 7, I still remember that video. He got on a plane with this gigantic plastic see-through thing over his head, and like a tent he put over his head because he wasn't going to take any chances.
I'm okay with a KN95 mask.
Okay, we'll see. Well, we'll have to find out. I'll bet you some people getting COVID now certainly have worn masks, but you know. It's just one of those things where if you run into the right super spreader, I don't know if there's enough you can do, just the right circumstances with a super spreader and an event and being close. I mean, the mask may be helpful, but you don't necessarily think it's going to stop this. It's more fate. Just believe in fate, Deborah Marks.
Okay.
Accept your fate. In case you missed it, Deborah Marks' husband apparently tested positive after sauntering off to Las Vegas.
Yep.
And not doing anything, she said.
But nothing.
No. No casinos, no shows, nope. Nothing wild.
Mm-mm.
That's what he tells you, wink. with all of the ballot measures you'll see in November to vote on, groan, we just got a new one, and it really is a gimme. And it's just, you know, after the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, the California legislature and Newsom went crazy over the gun control stuff. I mean, California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. California is also a state that has the most permissive, or one of the most permissive, abortion laws in the state. That's not going to change. The Supreme Court did not outlaw abortion. It merely said that you don't have a constitutional right to an abortion, and it's up to the states, more or less, to regulate that. In California, it's not too hard to get an abortion. It's pretty much up to a physician to determine at what point a fetus is viable. It's supposed to be around 24 weeks or so. So the ballot measure we got today is from the state Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins, another annoyance from San Diego. It's a Senate Constitutional Amendment 10, which, if approved by the voters, it would take a simple majority vote, will codify the state's reproductive rights, will grant anyone of reproductive age the fundamental right to choose to bear a child or to choose and to obtain an abortion. Currently, these laws, it's case law, statutory law. What they wanted to do is embed it into the state constitution. So, yeah, we can get a headline and we can look like we're at the forefront of this. Atkins, by the way, also wants to make California a sanctuary state for abortion. So basically you're going to invite people from all over the country to come here and have an abortion that we'll pay for? Doesn't really say that in the story, but she said that she grew up in a Western Virginia home with no running water. And she's particularly concerned what abortion access means for women with no resources, poor women, women of color. I mean, the rhetoric about this has just been amped up so much since this decision came about. But they're going to add this to the list of things to vote on in November, and that's going to be a constitutional amendment to allow abortion. The other thing that happened today, California has become the first state to offer health care to all undocumented residents. Oh, isn't that nice? Newsom signed the budget deal, which includes this provision, full coverage for about 700,000 undocumented residents ages 26 to 49. See, they'd already taken care of the lower end of that, and they already taken care of the older end of that. I think there was 50 and older that they passed a couple of years ago. So they were looking to pick up the middle, and they did pass a bill that would provide health insurance to those who are in the country without authorization and are ages 26 to 49. The state already allows many undocumenteds to join Medi-Cal. And in 2015, California began allowing undocumented children to join Medi-Cal. 4 years later, eligibility broadened to those over younger than 26. And in May, the state started covering people age 50 and over. So this just covers a soft spot. This expansion is expected to cost $2.6 billion annually. There goes that surplus, looking for new ways to spend it. So there you go. They were already giving out money because of the high cost of inflation, and now they're handing a couple billion over for health care for illegal aliens. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the travel nightmare that has become leading into the 4th of July weekend, it's only going to get worse. We're talking about airline travel. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, is coming on next. John and Ken show on KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark has the news now.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.